Pike is right. I am a greedy lover. I won't apologize for it either. I'd lie here all night with him like this. Orgasm after orgasm crashing over me, if Pike would let that happen. But then again, I don't know of any man who is that giving. My toes curl and my legs strain, trying to make the orgasm quicker. Don't stop. His mouth is gone, and I groan in frustration.
Let it happen, darling. Don't force it.
I raise up on my elbow, glaring at the man whose lips are glistening from all his hard work. Hey, Dr. Ruth, can you get back to sucking and fucking without so much talk?
She's bossy, too,
he whispers, smiling up at me, mumbling something else to himself before his lips are back on my clit. I collapse back onto the bed, trying to relax and let it happen naturally because Pike's right. It's always better when it isn't forced. Within seconds, my toes curl again, but this time I don't strain chasing it. His fingers move faster. His lips suck harder, tongue flicking against my flesh as my muscles tighten on their own and all the breath in my lungs vanishes. Yes, 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 I scream, wrapping my fingers around the blanket again as my body shakes out of control. Fuck, yes. Pike doesn't slow. He doesn't allow the orgasm to wane. He pulls me from one orgasm straight into another, leaving me gasping for air and limp. I'm in so much fucking trouble. And this time, there's no way out.
Chapter 20. Pike.
What's your name, honey?
A woman leans on the bar next to me, ass sticking out like she's looking for attention. Attention I won't be giving her beyond answering her question.
Pike.
You new around here?
She drawls, pushing her tits forward with the arm that's tucked under her chest.
Nope.
I've never seen you.
Midge, leave the kid alone,
Tiny says, stalking past us and around the bar.
He's an old timer, but he's been gone for a while. He's not a brother, but a friend, and completely off limits.
She snarls, but by the time he looks at her, her face is neutral.
I was just saying hello and introducing myself.
She smiles at Tiny and straightens, allowing her tits and everything else to go back to normal, thanks to gravity.
I'm Morris's old lady.
No shit. Morris never seemed like the type to settle down, especially not with someone so close to his own age.
He doesn't know it yet, but I will be,
she winks. I hate to tell the lady, but Morris isn't settling down for no one. I don't care if she was a Playboy centerfold, the man couldn't stick to one pussy if his life depended on it. He is all about variety and excess, rarely dipping his wick in the same well twice.
Get lost, Midge. We got shit to talk about, and you have work to do.
Tiny glares down at the small woman with so many wrinkles she looks like she was taken out of the dryer after staying in there too long.
Yes, sir, big man,
she says, throwing me a smile before stalking off with a sway of her hips. Tiny glances toward the ceiling and sighs.
She ain't nothing but fucking trouble.
Why keep her around?
She ain't got anywhere else to go, and she's a damned fine maid, too.
You finally hired someone to clean? I look around the place, noticing it's not any neater than the last time I was here. The floor is dirty, my boots stick to the tile in some spots, old alcohol acting like glue. Beer bottles are everywhere, but it's been a long night and the guys were celebrating my return, even if most of them didn't give two shits. They'd use any excuse to have a party.
She cleans for beer and cock.
My eyebrows go up. Interesting arrangement. Tiny grabs a beer from the cooler, holds it out to me, and I take it before he grabs another one.
Where's the girl?
I twist the top and take a swig, needing something to quench the thirst Gigi caused because the girl is insatiable.
Sleeping.
Tiny grins as he lifts the beer to his lips.
I like her.
Again, I raise my eyebrows. Tiny doesn't like many people. Most of the time, I never thought he liked me. You do? He nods.
She's a good fit for you. Unlike that other skank. What was her name?
Which one? I laugh a little, but there's truth in what I'm saying. I may not have been a brother or a prospect, but I had just as much pussy in my bed as every guy in this place. Somehow the men here let me take advantage of all the perks without risking my life or requiring the oath bullshit they all swore to one another.
What are you doing up?
I ask him because it's almost morning, but I haven't slept a wink.
I'm not up. I'm headed to bed, but I had a few loose ends to tie up.
He leans against the bar across from me, taking another swig of his beer.
I have eyes and ears out all over the state. No one's looking for you or the girl. Hopefully in a few days you two can get back to your lives without looking over your shoulder.
I'm sorry about this, Tiny. If I would have known, James... Tiny waves me off.
If you're in any kind of shit, I want you calling me. If you need help, pick up the goddamn phone. I thought we made this clear to you when we saw you in Daytona. You may not live here anymore, but you'll always be part of our family.
I don't know what I did to deserve any of this. I grip the neck of the bottle, swiping my thumb down the glass. I don't see you taking in any other strays. Tiny laughs.
You're a good kid. If I had a son, I'd want him to be just like you, Pike. Instead, I got a daughter because I've done bad shit in my life, and the big guy found a way to pay me back. You needed help, and had a pair of balls and a mouth back then.
He laughs louder, shaking his head.
Hell, you still do. I thought I'd convince you to be one of us, to join the Brotherhood. But when I knew it was hopeless, I couldn't just toss your ass out into the street.
You really could have. My parents didn't give two fucks what happened to me, and they're my own blood, Tiny. You have no duty to help me or even protect us right now. Tiny's laugh dies and he moves closer, leaning into my space.
Family is more than blood, kid. Shit goes down in your life and you need backup, you call me. Now you have James in your life and his people, which is good, but I'll always be here for you.
James seems decent. Tiny's laughter is back.
He's an asshole. One of the biggest fucking dicks I've ever met, but he's solid. When he speaks, it's the truth coming out of his lips. Shit went down years ago between us, but we made our peace. And when I need help, something I can't call on the guys to do, I call James and his guys.
I don't want to know. Tiny nods.
Trust me, you don't. But if that girl is his family, James will pull you into the fold.
I work for her dad. Tiny's eyes widen.
My man's fucking the boss's kid. You got a bigger set of balls on you than I thought.
Or I'm dumb as a fucking brick. It's debatable at this point. I crack a smile, trying to make light of the situation, but none of it's funny. And her life may be in danger because of that very fact. I'm pretty sure her father wants to rip my dick off and shove it down my throat, but we gotta make it out of here in one piece for that to happen.
I'll make sure you live,
Tiny promises, and I believe he'll do everything in his power to keep us alive. Thanks, T.
Now, as a father to daughters, let me give you a little advice.
I'm listening.
Treat her good and make her happy. A father has many weapons, and if the guy is a douche and treats her like shit, he doesn't need to bring out the big guns to drive them apart. But if the guy is good... It makes her happy, in bed and out. Not even a nuclear weapon or her father's unhappiness can make her leave you. You make it right with her, her father will fall in line.
I shrug. He's pretty pissed, and if I didn't know better, I'd think he was part of an MC, too. He's friendly, but I know there's more to him than meets the eye.
City was never in an MC, Tiny says.
City? I ask, because that's not a name I know him by. Tiny raises his hands.
Joe Gallo, dumbass.
I tick my chin toward Tiny. How the hell do you know Joe?
He did a tat of mine back in the day, and I know all about him and that family from working with James and Thomas. He's solid, never been in an MC, but he has been around the biking world for years. He keeps to himself, dedicated to his family, and isn't afraid to go to any length to protect them.
Yeah, that's him.
I wish you fucking luck with that one,
he says before he tips his head back, polishing off the rest of his beer. Thanks for the encouragement, I grumble, because I know the shit hasn't even started. Once we step foot outside this compound, the danger gone, a new risk awaits, and it'll be directed only at me.
Get some shut-eye. You look like shit.
I run my fingers down my beard, smiling at the old bastard. Still looking better than you, I tease him as I climb off the stool and toss the rest of my beer in the trash as I walk toward the hallway. When I open the door, Gigi's passed out, blankets half off her body, breasts sticking out, and taken up the entire twin bed like she's slept there her whole life. I undress, pulling her over to one side, careful not to let her fall before I climb in next to her and tug her against my body. Her skin smells of sex and vanilla as I nuzzle my face into her neck, tightening my arms around her.
Pike,
she whispers. Shh, darling, go back to sleep, I whisper back. She turns in my arms, lying flat on her back, and blinks up at me.
Where were you?
Just talking with Tiny.
Is everything okay?
She fights back a yawn, but loses, covering her mouth with her hand. She closes her eyes, turning again and burrowing her face in my chest, then throwing her leg over my hip. Everything's good. My fingers find her spine, tracing the straight line down her skin. Don't worry, we're safe.
Are you sad coming back here?
No, it's like going home again. Although a fucked up home after being gone for a while. I'm comfortable here, but I worry about you being in a place like this. She laughs against my skin.
Clearly, you've never been in a frat house.
Can't say that I have.
The guys are bigger and scarier, but there is just as much drinking and naked bodies at a frat party as there was here tonight.
How many frat parties have you been to?
A lot,
she whispers.
Too many to remember.
I tighten my arms around her, and I don't like hearing about her in a place with so many drinks or naked people, but I know we both lived lives before we met. The thought of another man touching her makes my stomach knot. No more, though, yeah? I ask, letting my jealousy shine a little. She laughs softly.
There's no time for frat parties. I figure this is like the last big hurrah being at the compound. I'm going to use the time to party my ass off because adulting is going to suck and it's forever.
You party as much as you want while we're here, but I'm going to be with you every step of the way, so don't get any crazy ideas. She pulls her head back, staring up at me with a smile.
What do you consider a crazy idea?
You're here with me, and only in my bed. No one else. Her smile grows wider.
Would you be jealous?
I sigh, figuring I have to lay shit out because she's testing me. Darling, we both have pasts, but we're living in the now. I don't know if I have 1 hour or 100 years, but whatever time I got, I want you where you are right now. She blinks a few times, staring at me like I'm speaking a foreign language she can't understand.
I'm down with the now, but what makes you think you want to spend 100 years with me where I am?
We got something special.
Orgasms don't make a relationship.
She rolls her eyes. They don't hurt, either. I smirk. But I've also been around enough wrong women to know when I've found the right one.
Pike,
she says softly, reaching her hand up between us and resting her fingers on my beard.
I'm not as experienced as you.
Really? I say, even though I knew that fact the first time she was in my bed. It's not hard to tell the difference. I knew back then Gigi Gallo wasn't an easy girl and didn't give her body away to just anyone. Why she decided to offer herself up to me in Daytona, I'll never know. Nor do I give a fuck. It happened, and I haven't stopped thanking my dumbass luck for being in the right place at the right time since then. She pulls at the hairs near my chin, toying with the tips.
I've only had a few boyfriends, and those relationships were complete disasters. How do I know we won't be the same?
I press my lips to her forehead, wishing we could stay here, this way, forever. There's no way to tell if we'll work out, but that doesn't mean I don't want to do whatever I can to hold on to whatever this is. All I can promise is that I'll treat you good, be loyal to you always, and give you as many orgasms as you want.
As many as I want?
She whispers into my neck, fingers still playing with my beard. As many as you want, I repeat.
I never had one with someone else before you,
she confesses. Her voice is so soft and quiet I almost don't hear her. The statement doesn't shock me. So many women never got off with their partner, and half the time the guys don't even try. They think that by getting theirs, they did enough, and if it doesn't happen for the chick, it isn't their fucking problem. I've never been that way. Can't even begin to understand that way of thinking. But you did with me, yeah?
Every time.
That has to count for something. What if you don't stay with me and no guy ever gets you off again? It's a lie, but one I can use to my advantage since she has very little experience, and all of it before me was absolute shit.
I do have a vibrator, so it's not like I'd never come again.
I got a hand, too, but it doesn't mean I'd be happy jacking off for the rest of my life. She tips her head back, a smile back on her face.
Can I watch?
My eyebrows draw together as I stare back at her. Watch what?
You know.
She waggles her eyebrows.
Watch you jack off. It would be the hottest thing ever.
You going to give me that ass? I ask, waggling my eyebrows just like she did. Because that would be the hottest thing ever. Her nose scrunches.
No.
A little more tequila, and I bet you'd say yes. She lets out a loud huff and flattens her lips.
You let me watch you jack off and give me enough tequila, and I'll think about giving you my ass.
I roll her to her back, and I'm on top of her quickly. See, darling, we work well together. Communication and negotiation are important in every relationship.
You just want my ass, Pike.
I want all of you, Gigi. I slide between her legs. But right now, I want that sweet cunt squeezing my cock until we both pass out.
That I can do.
She promises.
Chapter 21. Gigi. The compound is massive. Not just the main building. Everything is supersized. The 10-foot-high walls around the perimeter seem excessive, but I wouldn't be shocked if there was a moat on the other side of the gates either.
Don't get any ideas, girl,
cautions one of the men who's been following me around like he's my shadow. I pull my hand back, letting the dusty green curtains fall back into place, and scrunch my nose. Where would I go? Seriously, it's like Fort Knox out there. The guy pulls a toothpick from his lips, sliding the same hand through his blonde hair.
You look crafty. And as if you'd claw your way over that wall like a superhero or some shit.
The double doors leading into a room that's set up like something you'd see in a corporate office creak, and the men file out. But there's no Pike, Morris, or Tiny. The looks on the men's faces don't give me much solace that this shit is over and we can finally go home. They called an emergency meeting an hour ago, telling me I wasn't allowed to attend, even though my life was on the line and anything they said in there could either save me or end shit in a bad way. To say I was pissed was an understatement. Even though I am a girl, I never have been treated like one by my family. We are all equals. It doesn't matter what you have between your legs, your opinions and thoughts count for something and are always taken into consideration. The disciples don't feel the same way. There is a macho hierarchy where the women cook, fuck, and suck dick. But beyond that, they aren't needed or wanted. Thank God Pike didn't pick up on that shit when he lived here. He has enough of an attitude. I couldn't take the sexism on top of the rest of him. The men scatter in opposite directions, pulling their guns from their waistbands as they walk. Great. Whatever they talked about has them on edge. Because I haven't seen weapons out in the open in such numbers, except for on television. What do you think's happening? I ask Mr. Toothpick, because he's the only one who's bothered to talk to me today besides Pike. He shrugs.
My ass is out here with you, so I'm not in the know.
They didn't clue you in?
They clue me in when they want me to be clued in.
The man talks in riddles. And he wouldn't be half bad looking if he cut his long hair and trimmed his beard so it wasn't so scraggly.
Gigi,
Morris's voice booms through the open space, drawing my gaze.
Get your ass in here.
I smile at Toothpick. Guess I'm going to be clued in before you, I taunt him, because it's the only form of entertainment I have, and I'm feeling bitchy. He snarls, waving me off.
Lucky you,
he mutters, and slides the toothpick back between his lips. Morris is standing in the doorway, leaning against the frame, eyes on me like my ass is moving too slow for him.
You out for a stroll?
He asks, confirming I am in fact moving too slow. But I have one speed, and it's sloth. The scenery lacks a certain charm. I smile, looking up at the big guy I've grown fond of in the short time I've been at the compound. I can understand why Pike liked him, even if he thought the guy shot him. I'm not sure I'd ever get over everything that happened, like him punching Pike in his injured shoulder. But men are cut from a different cloth like that.
I'll make sure to call HGTV and see if we can't get a makeover.
Morris jokes, following me through the double doors. Tiny's at the far end of the table, Pike next to him, both men staring at me as Morris closes the doors behind us. Is everything okay? I ask, walking slower than before because the looks on their faces say shit is far from okay. Pike pulls out the chair next to him and Tiny motions for me to sit. I do it quick, like my ass is suddenly on fire and only the chair can put out the flames. Pike throws his arm around the back, turning his head to face me. I give him a timid smile. What happened? As Pike opens his mouth, ready to tell me what I want to know, Tiny clears his throat.
There was an attempted hit on Pike's father last night.
I gasp. Because this shit is far too real. His mother is dead, and his father was in hiding just like us. But somehow it sounds like he didn't come out unscathed. Tiny leans back, eyeing me.
As far as we can tell, he's alive.
That's good, right? I ask, swallowing the lump that's back in my throat.
DeSantis isn't taking his time. The next 24 hours will tell us if Pike and you are a target. So far, there's been no movement toward either of you. I spoke to James this morning, and he said it's quiet over there. He's had his boy sitting outside your apartments, parked outside inked, and ears everywhere in that shithole town listening for chatter.
And? Tiny drags his hand down his face. Maybe not used to being questioned about anything. He probably lays shit out, and people just take what he has to say and soak it in. But I'm not built that way. I question everything. And just when the person thinks they're done, I want to know more.
We're ready, in case they come here looking for either of you.
You really think they're here? Tiny shrugs.
Dunno. I'm sending out some guys to see if there's anyone new around, asking too many questions. The next few hours are critical.
And if they hear nothing, can we go?
If we hear nothing, James and I will make the call on if your ass can walk outside those walls tonight.
Okay, I whisper, knowing there's no point in arguing about who gets to determine our fate.
DeSantis isn't a fool. I'm sure he did his homework. And if he's after Pike, he figured he'd come here for cover from the hellstorm he's raining down.
I can do another day standing on my head. I lean back into Pike's arm that's still flung across the back of my chair. I stare at Tiny, looking to him for some comfort.
Just lie low. Maybe stay in Pike's room as much as possible. If shit goes down, I'd rather you be in a room with no windows than out there.
He jerks his head toward the door.
I'm sure you can find ways to keep yourself occupied.
He winks. I let out a nervous laugh. Nothing gets me hotter than knowing I may be taking my last breath. Tiny swipes his hand across his lips, muttering obscenities.
Take a nap, play Scrabble or some shit, but keep yourselves out of sight.
Scrabble? I scrunch my nose. Poker, maybe. I tap my chin, thinking of ways to entertain ourselves. Strip poker works, too. I turn to Pike, who's pale as a ghost. You okay, baby? He gives me a small smile, hiding whatever passes across his eyes.
Great, darling.
His answer comes too easy, and I wonder what I'm not being told. Maybe he's in shock, mourning the loss of his mother and the possible death of his father.
Now you two get gone. I've got shit to do, and the sooner this is over, the better.
Tiny announces, pushing back from the table and climbing to his feet. You know you're going to miss me, I tell Tiny, standing and craning my neck to look up at him.
Kid, the next time I see your face, I expect it to be under happier circumstances.
Me too, Tiny. Me too. Pike's on his feet, arm around my shoulders, like he needs to be physically touching me at all times. I turn my head, looking at his face, soaking him in. Why don't we grab a bottle of Jack before we head back? If the day goes to shit, I'm going to need something hard to chase away the fear that's settled into my bones. I've been good at keeping it under wraps. I've pretended to be sleeping when half the time I'm paralyzed by fear, waiting for the bad guys to come crashing through the doors ready to take us out.
I think we should stay clear-headed,
Pike says, moving me toward the doorway right behind Tiny.
If something happens and I'm shit-faced.
We'll stay sober. I reach up and touch his hand that's closed around my shoulder. Tiny puts out his hand, stopping us from walking to Pike's room.
Here.
He pulls a gun from his waistband and holds it in front of us.
Take this. If you don't need it, great. If you do, at least you have it. You remember how to shoot? I'll never forget,
Pike says, as he wraps his hand around the handle, holding it like he's done it a million times.
Shit goes south. You shoot anything coming your way.
Pike nods at Tiny, and I'm feeling a little left out again. Do I get a gun? Tiny's eyes twinkle, but his expression doesn't change.
Absolutely not.
This is bullshit.
As is life,
Tiny teases. Pike moves one hand to the small of my back, the other one still holding the gun.
Come on, let's let the guys do their shit, so we can get out of here sooner rather than later.
Fine, but I'm grabbing the Jack. I stalk away from him and push past Morris before Pike has a chance to usher me toward his room.
Fucking women.
Morris mutters loud enough for me to hear, even though my legs are moving faster than before.
Now she's Jackie Joyner Kersey.
I don't know who Jackie is, but she has to be badass if he thinks I'm anything like her. I'm so not chill right now as I stride across to the bar, throwing myself over the top and reaching underneath to find a bottle of Jack. Once I have it in hand, I slide back down, turning to face the three of them, all of whom are staring at me with a look of amusement.
Good luck,
Morris says to Pike, slapping him on the back as I throw them a quick glance before striding down the hallway, cracking the top of the bottle open. You coming? I call out when Pike's not right behind me, hanging on me like he was a few minutes ago. Tiny and Morris laugh their asses off, but I don't turn around to see if Pike's following me or not. I'm cranky, and starting to go a little stir-crazy, missing the sunshine on my skin. All I can hope for now is that today is our last day of captivity, and we walk out of here breathing. Half a bottle of Jack, and 4 hours later, I'm sitting on the edge of Pike's bed, wrapped in a blanket and nothing more. He's naked, pacing near the door like he's a caged animal, gun on the dresser. You okay? I ask him, watching the muscles of his body flex and relax with each step. His body is long, sleek, and sculpted. His legs are longer than his torso, all brought together with the most spectacular ass I've ever seen on a man.
Just thinking.
I lean back, still staring at his nakedness, because I can. About?
How my family has fallen to shit because of the stupid, greedy things my father's done. But then there's you.
He motions a hand toward me.
And that part of my life feels like it's finally fallen into place.
I'm sorry about your mom and dad. I can't imagine something happening to mine. I wouldn't even be able to get out of bed, let alone form coherent thoughts. My world revolves around my family, always has, and I can't imagine that ever changing. I didn't even leave the state to attend college because I wanted to be close enough to go home whenever I missed everybody. which ended up being more than I'd expected. Pike shakes his head.
I feel like I should be crying, or at least sadder than I am. They're my parents, after all. They brought me into this world, but Gigi, they weren't good to me. There wasn't a day that went by where I didn't feel like I was a burden to them. Do you know how it is to be a little kid, playing with your old-ass toy truck that's fallen apart, knowing you're not wanted?
He looks at me, and I shake my head.
Of course you don't. You have the gallows. They love you. They worship the ground you walk on and would do anything for you if you asked.
I'm sorry. Those are the only words I have. Because I know I was lucky the day I was born. I could have very easily been born into a shit-ass family where I was just another mouth to feed. But I wasn't. I hit the proverbial jackpot. Not only do I have amazing parents, but my aunts and uncles are the bomb, too.
I'd give my left nut to have something good like that in my life.
I'm on my feet, walking toward him. I wouldn't like that, because I'm kind of partial to your left nut. I'm using humor because it's the only thing I can do. Your right one just doesn't do it for me. Pike grabs me as the blanket I have wrapped around myself falls to the floor.
You're such an asshole.
He laughs, holding me tightly, skin against skin. But you love me?
I do,
he replies, running his fingers down my spine.
More than I have anyone in a long time.
Pike, I'm breathless, wondering if he meant to say that, wondering if he'll take them back. Is it a little too soon to say those words? He peers down at me, a swirl of emotion in his eyes.
I didn't just meet you, darling. After you left, I dreamed of no one but you. When I saw you walked into Inked, I couldn't believe my goddamn eyes. We've only spent 2 weeks together in total, but I feel like I've known you since the day you walked up to me and asked me for my number. And let me say, you never gave me yours.
Well, I don't know what to say to all that. If I were honest, I've thought about Pike a lot since the day I walked out the door for that non-existent cup of coffee.
You're young. Maybe you're not ready to say how you feel. But I've lived enough to know when there's something good in my life and something I don't want to let go of again.
I mumble, my vision blurring because this beautiful man, one who doesn't always share his feelings, is spilling his guts like water over Niagara Falls.
I'll give you all the time in the world to figure out if it's how you feel too. But until then, you're my girl, and only my girl. You're mine, Gigi Gallo.
My stomach flutters at the way he says those words, and at the intensity in his gaze. I've heard my father utter those words 1,000 times to my mother, and every time I'd roll my eyes. But now I understand how it made her feel. I understand why those words made her smile and go all gooey in the knees, because in this moment, I'm finding it difficult to stand.
Okay,
I whisper.
Okay?
He raises an eyebrow. I nod. I'm yours. I brush my hand across the beautiful back dimples he has just above his ass. But as long as we're staking claims, you're mine too. Pike Moore. No other women are in your bed or on the back of your bike. If we're doing this, we're doing it right. Pike's sadness from earlier is gone, replaced by a big, toothy smile. He slides his hand up my back, cupping my neck.
In the shittiest week of my life, you've somehow found a way to make me the happiest man alive.
I don't get a chance to reply and tell him I feel the same before his lips crash down on mine, stealing my words and my breath.
Chapter 22. Pike. My eyes fly open as a cold hand covers my mouth.
Pike.
Morris tries to whisper, but being quiet has never been his thing.
Men are on the perimeter.
I blink up at him as I lift myself, letting his words slide over me, penetrating the haze I still have from the dream I was just in a minute ago. Gigi shifts in my arms.
What's wrong?
She goes stiff as soon as she lays eyes on Morris, who's hovering above us.
Get your asses up and be ready.
Morris moves toward the door, but he's still staring at us, a worried look on his face.
Shit's about to go down.
Gigi rises next to me, holding the sheet over her chest.
Fuck, for real?
Her eyes are wide, and I can see the fear all over her face. Morris doesn't answer as he disappears into the hallway. The only sounds are his heavy footsteps and those of his brothers moving around the compound as the door clicks behind him. Get dressed and go into my closet. I move my chin toward the door on the other side of the room. Don't come out under any circumstances. And when I say any circumstances, I mean don't come out until you hear me, Tiny or Morris, calling your name. She scurries to her feet, gathering her clothes off the floor where I'd thrown them last night.
Don't come out under any circumstances,
she repeats my words, pulling her shirt over her head, and then moving for her pants.
Pike, what if...
I shake my head, zipping my jeans. No ifs. If you don't know the voice, don't come out. Stay quiet, and no matter what, don't cry. I don't want these fuckers finding you.
Don't get yourself shot, okay? No jumping in front of bullets for me.
I stalk up to her, grabbing her neck and hauling her lips to mine. Darling, I'll do whatever it takes to get you back to your family and keep you breathing.
I'd never be able to...
I don't let her finish the statement before my mouth closes over hers, taking what I can get for what might be the last time. If shit goes south, which it could and probably will, I may never have another chance to kiss her beautiful mouth and feel her in my arms again. I break away, even though I want to hold her like this forever and forget the shit that's going on outside this room. Go. I run my finger along her chin, memorizing every dip of her lips. Get in the closet, go all the way to the back and hide behind my things. She nods, walking back slowly, dragging her hand down my arm until just our fingertips are touching.
Be safe and don't be a hero.
I've never wanted to be the hero, but I want to be hers. I'm not sure I've ever wanted to be anything more than in this very moment. No one would get by me and get to her. Not as long as I still have air in my lungs and the ability to move. Go, Gigi, I order her, pulling on my boots, gun by my side on the bed, my body facing the hallway. A wave of emotion passes across her face as she opens the door to the closet and steps inside. I lift my chin at her, and she gives me a pained smile before finally closing the door, disappearing into the darkness. I grab the gun, but I stay on the edge of the bed, knowing whoever comes through that door is going to get one of my bullets. I won't hesitate to pull the trigger, and the brothers here know better than to walk in here unannounced or without calling the all clear. Gunfire rings through the building, sounding like fireworks on steroids and coming so fast it's like a hurricane of metal and fire. A million thoughts cross through my mind as the shadow of boots passes by the door, heading toward the main room where the majority of the bullets are flying. These guys, the ones I thought of like family, are hauling ass toward the gunfire, shielding us from their spray. We're the intended targets, but they're willing to put their lives on the line so we can breathe another day. They live for shit like this. They crave danger, not giving a fuck if they live or die as long as they enjoy every minute of the time they're here, walking this earth. I hold my breath, knowing someone's going to come through the door if anyone has survived. I pray, something I haven't done since I was living with my grandmother, hoping like hell we get out of here unscathed. Not just us, but the men putting their lives on the line as I sit in the dark, protecting my girl and waiting for hell to come to me. I've lived through a hail of bullets before, but I had never been the intended target. I've been shot, and I sure as fuck am not looking forward to feeling the hot metal slice through my skin again. But I also want to live, having more to live for than ever before. My father's sins were following me. His curse was the only thing he gave me besides his name. But after tonight... After the gunfire ends, no matter which side comes out on top, his time in my life will end as well. The shouts of the men I know are barely audible over the gunfire as it grows louder, coming close to us. I prepare myself, lifting the gun toward the door, poised to shoot anyone who enters. My hand doesn't shake, even though I've never shot a man before. I've held a gun hundreds of times growing up in Tennessee, but never have I been more prepared to use it to kill another person than I am right now. My body stiffens as a door slams nearby. Clearly someone's searching and got through the front line. I lift my other hand, gripping my forearm to steady the gun, because if I shoot, I sure as fuck ain't missing.
"Keep looking,"
a man yells.
"I know he's here."
He is me, and I'm thankful they haven't said anything about Gigi. I'm their intended target, and not the scared girl hiding in my closet, probably losing her shit, but following my orders nonetheless. A single shot rings out in the hallway, sounding more like a firework popping and echoing through the tiny corridor. The knob on my door turns, illuminating my room with just enough light to see the outline of a man. I squeeze the trigger, not hesitating to fire as he lifts his arm, ready to take me out too. But my shot is quicker, and the man falls backward, a clean shot right in his head.
"Don't shoot!"
another man says, but my ears are still ringing from the shot I just fired.
"Pike!"
I can't see him because he hasn't shown his face, probably not wanting the same fate as the dead bastard on the dirty-ass floor. The gun's still pointed at the door, my hand not as steady as it was, but I'll take out any other bastard that tries to walk inside. I keep my mouth shut, not knowing who's calling my name or their intentions.
"It's Morris. Don't shoot,"
he says.
"They're gone. All dead, but a few already out the door and running for the hills."
"They're gone?" I ask, not moving a muscle, because I can't.
"Just this one cocksucker got by us, but you handled his ass. Three more made it out, but men are after them, making sure they don't get wherever they're going."
"Morris?" I ask, because my mind is hazy, and all I can see is the puddle of blood oozing out of the man's body.
"Yeah, kid, it's me. Put the gun down. The shit's over."
He's still hiding, taking no chances with me. I don't blame him. It's not every day a man takes the life of another. Morris knows I've never done it, and how it changes a man. My hand drops as I take my finger off the trigger, but I'm not ready to put it down. It's like the metal has fused to my hand, becoming one with me. I'm in shock. I know it. I know my body is trying to catch up with what my mind already knows. I shot a man. I took a life.
"Is it down?"
"Yeah," I call back to Morris. "Come in." He steps over the man's body, flipping the switch on the wall and bathing the room in light.
"Nice shot,"
he says as soon as his eyes land on the man with a bullet clean through his forehead.
"I always knew you had it in you."
"Can I come out?"
Gigi says from the closet, no doubt hearing our voices, but unable to wait for the all clear. The girl only has so much patience to follow orders, which is maddening, but at least she stayed in there long enough to keep her ass alive.
"Come out, girl,"
Morris tells her before I can.
"It's over."
I'm on my feet and at my closet before she has a chance to see the dead guy on the floor. I grab her face, keeping her eyes on me.
"You okay, baby?"
She nods, eyes glistening as she stares up at me.
"I'm okay,"
she whispers, but her voice wavers.
"When I heard the shot go off..."
Her lip quivers and her voice breaks, not finishing the statement. "I'm fine. We're fine." I hold her gaze, trying to keep my shit together so I can convince her that what I'm saying is true.
"Yo!"
Morris yells, making Gigi jump.
"We got a body over here."
Gigi tries to look around me, but I hold her face, forcing her to look at me and nowhere else.
"Don't look. You don't want to have that burn on your brain."
"Did you do it?"
she asks, her voice whispers soft, the quiver still on her lips. I nod, rubbing my thumb across her cheek.
"It was him or us, and I wasn't about to end what we have. I told you I'd do anything to protect you, and I did what I needed to do."
"You killed a man."
I nod again, because I did. I pulled that trigger without an ounce of hesitation, thinking of him as the enemy and not a human being. I didn't give a fuck if he had a wife and kids. He wanted to kill us, and for that alone, he deserved the bullet he got. The tears in her eyes build and fall when she blinks.
You protected me?
She whispers as her hands find my sides, gripping me like she needs to touch me to stay upright.
I'll always protect you. I know my words are true. I told you that, darling.
Boots are behind me, shadows moving around the room as the guys bend down, hauling the dead guy from the doorway.
Take him outside with the others,
Morris says.
We'll deal with them together, and get Midge in here to help clean up this mess.
There are a few grunts of understanding, followed by Morris's shadow growing in size on the wall behind Gigi.
I'll give you two some time to talk and some privacy.
I nod, not turning around because I'm not taking my eyes off my girl. She needs me, more than she needed me before this shit went down. She heard too much, knew too much, and that shit would mess with her head. When I peer over my shoulder, there's only a small amount of blood visible near the doorway. The majority of the guy's brains and blood landed in the hallway just outside my door and out of sight. I reach down, lifting Gigi into my arms, carrying her toward the bed. Her head moves to my shoulder, arms around my neck as I cradle her tightly, wishing she'd never had to experience this. I brought this to her door. My father brought this to mine.
We're safe now.
I sit on the edge of the bed, resting her ass in my lap, still holding her close.
No one's going to hurt you.
I've never been so scared in my life, Pike.
Her fingers toy with the hair on the back of my neck, sending a shockwave of feelings through my system.
Not just for me, but for you. I was so worried that...
Shh, baby, it's over. Stop thinking about it. I'm breathing, you're breathing. There's nothing else that matters right now.
What about the guys?
I don't know what happened out there, and I'm not ready to find out. Tiny will call for us when he's ready to tell us what we need to know and what he wants to tell. I brush my lips across her forehead, needing to feel her softness and be reminded of all the good there is in life to replace the bad I've just done. All that matters is you're okay.
Do you think they'll come back?
She whispers, toying with the collar of my t-shirt, grazing my skin with her fingernails.
I don't know if there'll be anyone to come back. If any of them made it out, the others went after them on foot. They don't have much of a chance on all this land with the disciples on the hunt.
I guess that's a good thing.
It's a good thing for us, but not for them. We're both thankful to be alive. I may have lived within these compound walls for years, but we'd never been attacked, and I'd never been in what sounded like a battle zone.
My body trembles slightly as the adrenaline that has been coursing through me starts to wear off.
Do you think we'll ever get to go home?
I run my hand up her back and nuzzle my face in her neck, needing her smell, her softness to keep me grounded.
We will, darling. DeSantis isn't stupid enough to lose all his men trying to kill someone who doesn't know dick about his business. I don't know how many came here tonight, but based on the sounds, I'd say he lost too many to try to come after me again.
Kid?
Tiny calls, knocking on my door, but not entering the room.
You two decent?
Gigi laughs, and the sound is like angels singing, making all the shit that happened seem like it was part of a distant past.
Yeah, Tiny, we're good.
The door creaks, and Tiny sticks his head in the room.
Just talked to James.
Oh, shit,
Gigi whispers, and her laughter dies.
We may have survived the gun battle, but now we have to figure out how to make it through my family.
He's on his way with a few of her uncles and her father. They'll be here in a few hours. Get your shit together. You two are heading back.
I gawk at Tiny as he wipes his bloodied hand with a towel.
But what about DeSantis?
Tiny shrugs with a smile.
Fucker's dead. Someone went after him tonight before the hit went down. Took a blade across his neck just before lights out. He ain't gonna bother you again.
I let out a heavy breath, like a weight has been lifted off my back that I didn't know was there.
That's it? He's dead? It's over?
I repeat like the words haven't sunk in.
Yep, that is a fucking doornail. You have 3 hours before the guys get here to collect you two.
He starts to close the door, but I have shit to say, and not a lot of time to say it.
Tiny, I call out, causing him to stop. Thank you for tonight and everything.
Tiny nods, still wiping the blood because there's so many dead bodies out there. I'm sure there's blood on everything.
You are family, kid, and we take care of our own. I meant what I said earlier.
You need backup or safe haven, you come here. Nowhere else.
I nod. Nowhere else.
Now, get some rest. You made it through one hit squad, but you're about to be in front of another. I have a feeling you're going to get an earful on the way back. I won't let them say anything to you.
Gigi gazes up at me from my lap. You're cute, darling. If they want to lay into me, let them. I can take it. It's not like they're going to be shooting bullets at me. I can handle a little angry talk. Let them get it off their chests, and I'll take it like a man. They're probably worried out of their minds.
A little angry talk?
She says, laughing with every word.
I know you're used to badass bikers, but these are gallo men. They may not wear patches or ride a hog, but I'm telling you now, they're just as fucking scary. A little angry talk.
She bursts into a fit of giggles, knowing her family way better than I do.
We're going to get our asses chewed out for a living, and you're going to wish you were lying in that heap of bodies outside.
Come on, we're alive. How bad can they honestly be?
Chapter 23. Gigi. I slam back two shots of Jack as Morris yells that two cars are approaching. The same two cars that are carrying my family. The same two cars that not only carry my family, but men so pissed off, I'm pretty sure they broke every speed record to get here. I know what awaits me. I've seen my dad and Uncle James angry before, but it was never pointed at me. I figure if I'm going to make it through the long-ass drive home, I need a little liquor to make me more agreeable and less likely to argue back.
You ready?
Pike asks at my side, holding out his hand to me. I don't think I'll ever be ready. I try to smile, but it's impossible knowing my dad is nearby, probably foaming at the mouth.
It won't be that bad,
he says with a straight face. Because he only knows my dad and uncles as the chill guys they can be sometimes, and not the raving lunatics they can be when someone in the family is in danger. I'll remind you that you said that. I grab the bottle of Jack and try to pour myself another drink before Pike takes it from my hands.
This won't make things better.
I try to pull the bottle out of his grip, but it won't budge as we play tug of war. I beg to differ.
Get your asses moving,
Morris yells out, standing at the open door of the building, glancing back at us as we're locked around the bottle of Jack. Fucking fine. I let go, knowing it's a lost cause and we're out of time.
The girl lives, sees death, but the attitude never leaves,
Morris mutters, glancing up at the dark sky and shaking his head. I walk away from Pike, stalking toward Morris, the guy I've grown fond of over the last few days. Thanks for everything, big guy. He blushes as he tips his head down to look at me.
Don't be a stranger, kid. Make sure to keep that boy in line, you hear?
I laugh, nodding at him as I wrap my arm around his middle. I promise to make sure he walks the straight and narrow. Morris's arm is around me immediately, holding me tightly.
Maybe I'll come visit. I could use another piece.
I'd love that.
You two done?
Tiny says, stalking by the doorway, heading toward the headlights. I release Morris and practically run up to Tiny, hurling myself against him. He stumbles back like he's in shock and not used to being hugged. Thank you for everything, Tiny. Tiny pats my back, but doesn't give me the rib-crushing embrace Morris just did.
Anytime, girl. Now, give me a minute with my boy.
I stare up at him, craning my neck all the way back to meet his. Can you make sure they don't kill Pike?
Can't promise anything when it comes to James,
he says, amusement lighting up his face. It was worth a shot. I shrug and pop up on my toes just to reach his cheek. Tiny doesn't move as I kiss his cheek and then step away. He looks a little shell-shocked, which is funny because he's so big and burly. But my little kiss seems to have knocked the badass right out of him and left him speechless. Two cars pull in, gravel flying from the speed and hurling in all directions as they slam on the brakes. We're like deer, frozen in the headlights. I was scared as hell in the closet, listening to the screams and gunfire going off everywhere. You'd think facing my family would be nothing after that. But nope, I'm just as scared as I was a few hours ago.
Just stay calm, Morris calls out as Pike walks up next to me.
You ready for this? I ask, looking over at him, ignoring the sound of the car doors opening and boots hitting gravel.
I don't know,
he says, before his eyes go to where my family stands. I turn my head slowly, soaking in my Uncle James, who looks like he's about ready to tear a man's jugular clean through his neck. My Uncle Thomas, who looks just as pissed and no less scary. And then there's my daddy and Bear, looking like caged animals, shifting slightly like they're unable to stand still or all their fury would cause them to combust. Hey, I call out, putting on a smile and trying to act like our asses didn't almost get shot tonight. I miss you guys. I slowly move in their direction, gaze going between all four of them, trying to see if I could make their badass exteriors crack. My dad rushes towards me, putting his eyes on no one and nothing but me. My slow walk turns into a full-on run until we're close enough that I leap into his arms and he catches me like he used to when I was a little girl. I love you, Daddy. I feel like a kid again, and finally safe in my father's arms.
Baby girl,
he whispers, holding my head with one hand and squeezing my body with his other arm.
I've never been so scared in all my fucking life, and never more thankful than I am right now.
I bury my face in his neck, holding on to him like I don't think I've ever held him before. I'm sorry, I whisper. I'm sorry I had you worried.
We'll talk about it in the car,
he says. Oh, goody. Car talks have never been my favorite. I'm like a trapped animal and a captive audience with no escape or talking my way out of whatever my dad wants to put down. I freaking hate every minute of car chats. They're the most sucktastic things ever because they are so effective at breaking me.
Joe,
Pike says, walking up behind me, but my daddy's body goes stiff underneath me.
Get your ass in the car with James and Thomas. I want to talk to my daughter alone.
Goody, times two.
Yes, sir,
Pike says without even arguing. He probably knows it's a lost cause. There isn't any arguing with a gallo man on a good day, but in a moment like this, and with the anger on my dad's face, there's no way in hell Pike or I would win that argument. My feet are back on the ground as Pike turns his back and is walking towards James and Thomas, where they chat with Tiny and Morris.
Let's get out of here,
Bear says, giving me a wink instead of saying anything else. I'm sure he wants all the details, but he isn't going to ask about shit when my dad's in a mood. And I'm pretty sure my dad's mood isn't going away anytime soon either. Daddy, can't Pike come with us? Please? I pitch my thumb over my shoulder toward the five guys.
I want to talk to you alone. And James wants to debrief Pike.
My father shakes his head.
They know the way home.
I hang my head, dragging my feet through the gravel as I make my way toward the car. I know I'm going to get my ass chewed out, but I'll live. It won't be the first time my father has read me the riot act about something. But Pike may not be so lucky. I turn toward Pike as I open the car door, giving him a small wave and pained smile when our eyes lock. He waves back, tipping his chin like shit is cool, but he's freaking clueless. I don't know much about his dad, and know even less about his entire family, but what he's about to deal with, no doubt, will be nothing he's prepared for or expects.
We're out,
my dad yells across the parking lot, not bothering to wait for a response before he's climbing into the passenger seat.
This should be fun.
Bear catches my eye in the rearview mirror, always trying to make light of heavy shit. No other words are spoken as Bear revs the engine, taking off the same way they came in. Fast. I twist my fingers, staring out the window at the endless trees flying by in a blur as we exit the compound. Maybe my dad is too pissed to even talk. Maybe he's too happy I'm alive to rip me a new asshole. Anything is possible. How can he be mad when we didn't do anything wrong? Nor did we do anything to cause the clusterfuck of chaos that landed at our feet. The silence is killing me. I figure maybe this is an instance where I've got to rip the Band-Aid off quickly and get it over with. Waiting just makes it worse. And I can't sit here in silence for the next 2 hours. So.
Don't sew me, little girl,
Dad says. I widen my eyes at his clipped tone. Okay, I whisper, slouching down in the seat and crossing my arms over my chest.
You could have been killed.
He turns in his seat so he can look at me.
You almost were.
But I wasn't. His eyes harden.
Were there bullets flying within 50 feet of you?
I shrug. Now I'm pissed. And when I'm pissed, I dig my heels in and turn on the smartass. I didn't have my tape measure. He surges forward like he's going to leap over the seat and wrap his hands around my neck, choking the life right out of me. His eyes aren't hard anymore. His glare is blazing hot.
What did you just say? Say it again.
Dad, you're being a little crazy and unreasonable. Where's my big, badass father?
Your big, badass father is dealing with a lot of feelings after men just tried to bust into an MC compound, raining down fire in an attempt to take out my kid and end her life.
They weren't trying to kill me, I say softly, because I know he's about at his wit's end and he doesn't need my shit.
I know. They were trying to kill Pike, who...
He pauses, twisting his lips up, and I know what he's about to say before the words spill from his mouth.
You didn't tell me it was actually your boyfriend.
He yells those words, the sound echoing through the car like a bomb blast. He's not my boyfriend, Daddy. I keep up with the daddy bit because it's always worked in the past and usually helps to diffuse his anger. This isn't the first time he's been pissed at me, but it is the most pissed he's ever been that I can remember. Bear shakes his head, muttering something under his breath, and he catches my eye in the mirror. I don't know what he's trying to tell me, but I know instantly I fucked up.
That's right,
Dad says, nodding his head, eyebrows drawn down, and his top lip curling like he smelled the biggest pile of shit.
He's not a boyfriend. He's a guy you fucked.
Uh-oh. This isn't good. Damn. I can't backpedal my way out of this one. There's no more secrets at this point, and I lied right to my dad's face about Pike when Aunt Izzy confronted me at Inked. I don't move. It's as if my ass is glued to the seat and every muscle in my body locks up as if I'm paralyzed. The only thing I can do is stare at my father with wide eyes and say, I'm sorry. He tips his head back, staring at the ceiling of the car.
She's sorry.
His shoulders rise and fall.
No big deal, Dad. I met a guy at Bike Week and slept with him, even though he could have raped me and left my ass for dead.
I'm grown, and I was careful.
Adults die too, Giovanna. How many times did I tell you under no circumstances were you allowed in Daytona during bike week?
It was a mistake. We went for spring break.
And did you tell me you were going to Daytona for spring break?
Did you tell your parents everything when you were 20? I pause, returning his hard stare because I'm sick and tired of being treated like a little kid. Oh, wait. No, you freaking didn't. You were out riding your bike, banging broads without giving any fucks. He turns his head like he didn't quite hear me.
You want to repeat that shit for me?
No. He grinds his teeth, and I wince at the sound.
I didn't fucking think so.
He growls.
She finally says something smart,
Bear mutters.
When we get back, I forbid you to see him again.
He forbids me?